Well, today I'd like to bring to you what is left over by our senior minister, Michael Jensen, from Thessalonians chapter 1. And we know that in the Christian church in general, there are forms of ministries which bear little marks of the true, genuine, and godly gospel ministry. There are plenty of them. And it is important that we get this right, because poor letters, like any other letter that we write in our own days, has a purpose. So his letters had purposes when he wrote them to the believers of the first century. And also, even for us today, when we come to a text, there is a purpose. That is not our purpose. It's the purpose of the text, what he wants to do. And so today, I'd like to share with you the fact that the purpose of this text is for us to discern the true ministries from the false ministries, the ministries that are truly ministries of the gospel, ministries that we can relate to truly as God-filled ministries, ministries that are genuinely seeking God's glory, not man's glory or man's own prophets. So Paul, in writing this letter, his purpose was to defend his ministry back in at Thessalonica. Was to defend it against people who were accusing him that he was using tricks and also like he was a burden and loading it over the people for his own benefit. He was working for his personal gain. Because during those times, there were philosophers who were really making money out of their rhetorics and their philosophies, and they were really gaining huge followings. And so these times are remote to us, that there were like fresh thoughts, and people were just really, were really engaged in philosophical ideas. Even they would just like debate on how many angels who are dancing over a needle. These things. So there were things they were talking about. That was the debate. So you come and eloquently use the language in a way that is so sophisticated. And people will go after you. And they can give you more money. And they can give you more food and clothes and hold you in a higher position. So Paul, we were told last week by Michael Jensen, our senior minister, that Paul and Timothy and Silas, they went to Thessalonica from Philippi after they had troubles and they faced oppositions. But they said, we received help from God because we are men approved by God. And so we came to you, and we were successful because actually we understand the dynamics here. Timothy, after they preached and people came to faith as Thessalonica, so they faced troubles and then they had to smuggle Paul out, and so they all left. And then later on they sent Timothy to check on the new believers. And so when he came back, he reported to Paul and Silas, maybe. And so he reported the fact that these people, they are standing firm in the faith. And this is what he says. That was what we read last week. They were really strong. For we know, brothers, loved by God, that you are you continually continue to the work of God, to the word of God. You are working very hard, and your work is produced by faith, and your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. So Timothy went back and reported, these people are doing exactly these things. They are standing firm. But and he told them that we were successful. Our visit to you was not a failure. That is chapter 2, verse 1, was not a failure. We were successful, and so you were born again. You see, because our gospel didn't come only in words, but in power as well. So now, there's still some issues here. They are not disclosed fully, but we will see them later as we go down to the in the text. But here he want to remind them, because Timothy said, this is the report. These people, they already know. They already know, because Paul uses these words, you know, brothers, that our visit to you was not a failure. That was what Timothy reported to them, that they know this, that your ministry was successful. People actually really believe and turn away from idols and from sin. And he said also, people know also you didn't use tricks. We were not trying to please men, but God who tests our hearts. You know, we never used flattery. We didn't go after people and tell them nice things just so that they can be nice to us. We told the gospel and we share that. You know that. This has been reported to me. And so these people, they know. And so he just like repeating what has been reported to him. And now he wants to go to the body of what he wants to say today. And this is what I want to share today with you. I'm just telling you, Apostle Paul already affirmed these people are believers. 1 to 5. That was what he was saying. He was trying to affirm the fact that you are Christian. Like today I can say you are Christian. Okay? If you truly believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. But Apostle Paul also would want to defend his ministry before those who would think that he was acting not appropriately. So now he says this in verse 6, and I'm going to focus on 6 to 12, to use two family images that Apostle Paul used to remind these people, to tell us that that is the manner in which he conducted himself. That was how he lived and he viewed his ministry. He said to them, as apostles of Christ, we could have been a burden to you, but we were gentle. So the gentleness in the ministry was one of the marks of the true apostolic ministry. Someone called by God. One of the mark of truly the fact that this man is a man of God. Even he said that we were opposed, we were persecuted, but we received help by God. And we were made bold and we dare to preach the gospel to you. You see, so he's a man approved by God, and God tests his heart. And he said, when we came, we could have used our apostolic right to leave, to demand, to make demands of you, because we have been called by God, we've been filled with the Holy Spirit, we are receiving help for your sake, we are endangering our lives so that we prepare a body for Christ, we prepare you for your glory, we preach the word, like I shared with the kids, that is a simple word, I just shared it. Turn away from idols. There is judgment. There is sin for those who live in sin. And you believe it as the word of God, because it came with power and conviction. God affirming his love for you, that you don't have to go to hell, but he loves you. And then he touched your heart and you turn away from your idols. So we are men who are carriers of God's message, anointed by his Holy Spirit. So we could have been a burden to you. But because we were not called just to be a burden or for any sake, for our own benefit, God will look after our own needs. But we were so gentle. We were so gentle. We were not weak. We chose to do that. We have the right. Like he said, he had the right to walk around with a beautiful wife, like other apostles. Apostle Paul himself, he was not married. But he said, well, look, I just gave up on this so that I give my time fully to the gospel ministry. So he said, we could have been a burden, but that we chose to be gentle. We chose not to, and gentleness, like to not to have to lay burden on people. That means to put weight on people, to demand that. So let me use an illustration that I put down here. Yesterday we were burying a gentle young boy who was greatly loved by people in his church, a young adults guy, and he goes to an African church, and then the African pastor there, he was dressed up differently, not like rest of the pastors. We were pastors, but we were not near what he was dressed. And in white, nice jacket, and you know it was raining yesterday, isn't it? You have someone else. I'm not saying that he was doing something wrong, but maybe he was using his right as an apostle. So another person carrying an umbrella, you see. So he was looking real like a king, this guy. You see, he's an umbrella, someone else carrying his bag, and also even the seats, there were people wiping his seat to sit on. So he was an apostle, and he preached a good message at this church there, and he declared that there is hell and there is heaven. So he can't go wrong. But he himself allowed people to carry that burden if that was light for them. You see, but Apostle Paul said, even I will not even lay any burden. I will not make demands. And also burdens could be like maybe your demands to be looked after in terms of food, not just food. You see, fresh food, vegetables, and with desserts all the times. Fish that is salmon, and you see certain part of lamb or beef. So just a particular model of a car as an apostle of Christ, or maybe your bill are paid even before they are issued, maybe something like that. And maybe a nice house furnished with the lattice furnishes. You see, because you are an apostle of Jesus Christ, and the people themselves, they know that. They say, you know that. He is not telling them something that they don't know. But they said, we were so gentle among you. We were so gentle. We could have been a burden, but we were gentle. Gentle among you. And then now he is using this imagery, how gentle he was, or they were, because he was talking about himself and Timothy and Silas. So please, these are two images that Apostle Paul uses as the mark of true apostleship. He says this, we were gentle like what? Like a mother, a nursing mother, not just a mother, a nursing mother. You see, he was just like a mother, a nursing mother in her care for her babies. You know how gentle they are, isn't it? Because they go out for the benefit and the blessing of the child. You see, they handle the child so really tenderly. You see, they have their best thought for this child. You remember when I used to be in Gippsland with Peter Eswin, elderly Christian. He was a pastor, and he retired. They hosted me for 2 months. I was staying with them. They had 11 children, and they said I was their 12th child. They came out from England in 1981. So I had wonderful time with them. They have a sense of humor. And one day they were telling how a mother would just feed well so that there's milk for a child really to be nourished and to be strong. And so they were joking about, maybe sometime they drink a lot of water so that they have a lot of milk. And they said, should they drink and then later on they have milk, or they should be drinking while they are feeding the baby the water. So we were just like joking about this thing. But these things were serious. True. A mother will do anything in her cares, tender, loving. It's not just like a child. Some translations say children, but actually babies, infants. This is how a mother would deal with her children. In love, we loved you. There is this tender love that is flowing from us for you, like would for a mother for her child. We love you so much. That is how we dealt with you. That is how we were there. That is how we were giving up on apostolic marks, apostolic rights. as men approved by God. We were not looking for any gain from man. And he will say that we were not looking for anything, because we have learned to depend on God. We were gentle. We loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel, even our lives. So it's something that was just of the great joy to be able to bring the gospel of salvation, because they know these people, they will be born of God. They will be brought out from the dominion of Satan. Satan is cruel. If you are given such a message that will help someone to come out, to realize their true humanity, their true dignity, it's something that can cause you to marvel. Why God on earth would just choose a weak and a broken vessel to use him for this noble purpose, to help some people to come out, to know their worth. Because it's about you, it's not about me. It's about you who is receiving the gospel. God loves you. That is why he said there, brothers loved by God. For we know, brothers loved by God. That is chapter 1, verse 4. These are dearly loved by God. And that is why he will raise up apostles who will not be looking for their own gains, but will be gentle like mothers, with great love and care and tenderness for you. That was how we dealt with you. That was how we move around you. And why he was doing these things. What is the application here? So that you are not moved away from this faith. You see, so that you persevere. Because these people, they suffered. We will read on also. They suffered. They suffered. You suffered from your own countrymen the same thing those churches suffered from the Jews. You see, as those people came to faith after that, you see, and I'm reading further down in verse 14, even though it's not part of my thing, my focus. But I'm just referring to you that these people also, they received the gospel, they came out, they changed and they turned away, and now they are suffering. You see, so that you don't give up on your suffering, because you have come to live a life that is worthy of God, because you have been called into his kingdom and his glory. What an amazing encouragement for the Thessalonians, and what an amazing encouragement for you and I today. As someone who is preaching, I pray that I will continue to be gentle. If you see me like to be proud, please remind me of the message that I need to be gentle. If I claim to be an apostle, ever claim to be an apostle. He said this. He was so delighted. It's something that brings great joy to his heart. He said they didn't only just preach the gospel, but their life. They were ready to risk their life, to go all the way, to suffer what you suffer. And that is why if we don't interact, if we don't move together, how can we express our apostolic gifts? How would you know that this person will go all the way with you to the grave? You need to call. You say, I have this. Please, could you pray for me? If he is called by God, God will use him, isn't it? Okay, let me give you an example. On Wednesday, I just got like bad headaches. And really, these headaches, they just like, when they come, they work very hard to put me off anything. I would just want to tender just my resignation. Just enough. Could this be an illustration of the frustration and the persecution and the struggle Paul was going through? And yet they didn't give up. So I was just like really tormented. And so I decided, I said, like I was trying to prepare, because I'm like Paul, I'm called to just preach. Maybe if I'm called to be an accountant, I can do that too. If I'm called, whatever God is calling you to do, that is what he has called you to do. So he has called me to do this. So I was going to prepare. I'm just trying and I just reading. And then after later on, I just was going to go to repair my sight glass, mirror, broken. So I decided to go to the wreckage. And so I went there. I was exceptionally dressed up. So it's, you can't go to a wreckage with mats and water and everything and dirt with nice clothes and with no tools. You see, I was just praying to the Lord, please help me with this headache and help me to find something. And so I got into this car. There was a man and his son. They were really pulling out some stuff from another car. So I got there and said, oh, I like this, but I don't have tools. He said, well, quickly. He said, I'm happy to help you. And then he came around and he was like trying really to undo that. And his son also came along him. He would be like 23, Jacob. I got his photos. We had a photo after that. And then this guy, he said, oh, his son's name is Jacob. Jacob. I said, Jacob, wow, he's my favorite character in the Bible. He was very bad. He was a bad man. And yet God touched him and changed him and brought him forth. And I saw the tears just flowing down from the eyes of this young man. He said to me, and his dad was just holding one of the doors, God sent you to me today. 2 days ago, I questioned God. Why am I going through these things? And I said, well, look, I myself was going through something as well. Under pains, great pains. But God is in charge. And God can touch you and can change you. And his dad has started to share how he has been trying to encourage his son. Like, really, maybe he is facing some issues, real issues. A fine young man coming from a fine home. And this, his father started really to share with me how he came a long way from Philippines. So very poor, and really, he said, they are Catholic, and he said, I would just pray to Jesus, help me to be a better person, to persevere, and he made it. And I said, what do you do? And he said, well, he's an airplane technician. He's an engineer. He works at night, but it takes time during the day. So this man, this young man, he believed, and I walked up to him. And I pray to him, with him, to receive Christ as his Lord and his Savior. Well, it was a delight to me to do that. Just if I didn't meet this guy, how would I register with him in his issue, in his troubles? Well, Apostle Paul went on to say, surely you remember, brothers, our toil and hardship, we worked night and day in order not to be a burden to anyone while we preach the gospel of God to you. Well, let me disclose to you before I explain this to you. Well, my first check that I received in my entire life as a gospel servant was from this church. But I didn't start doing this here in Australia. I was doing it in Egypt. Free of charge. But I was working as a teacher for 5 years, relentlessly preaching the gospel of God, sponsoring myself, and ready to go on to do that. And God blessed me abundantly, taught me great things. And yesterday only, with my friend, with my colleague, we used to teach in that school, he came up to me, and he said something, and this man is unusual. Anytime I go through things, he would just come up and just in a passing conversation and will say something that will stay with me. He's a dear friend of mine. He's a university graduate as well, highly intellectual guy from Alexandrian University. He said to me as we were sharing after the funeral, we need to learn to depend on God. And I say, Johannes, are you kidding? This is my message tomorrow. We learn to depend on God, not to be independent. You can be independent, not to get anything from anyone, and you're still depending on yourself, not on God. And I say this is another Christian module of ministry, and I don't think the Presbyterian will ever like it. It's not our module for ministry at all, that for someone to work with his hand, night and day, in order that he will not be a burden to anyone and yet continue to bear fruits and to build up God's people. And God has his own ways. Maybe Paul, Apostle Paul, was a tent maker, isn't it? But I said, if he is living in our own days today, he might become a medical doctor. He might be a businessman. He might be an accountant, a teacher. You see, a carpenter. Your job. A nurse. A childcare worker. Even in cleaning. He will do that so that he will not be a burden. And the people knew that. He was receiving a little help from Philippi, but that was not enough. He did that so that he will not be a burden. Let me move on. To give you another image, that imagery that he has used also in conducting himself through apostolic ministry. He said, "You are witnesses, and so is God, of how holy." What did I say there? How holy. He was gentle in the first place, no burden. And now he's moving on to say, we were blameless and caring like a father. So what is this holiness? Well, as I was looking into the original language or languages, so I reflected on these things. Why would Paul say how holy and righteous and blameless they were among the believers there? Well, holy, undefiled with sin. Even the sins of greed, to flatter and to be a burden on other people. So he was free of that. Free of wickedness. And he was observing every kind of obligation that was needed for a man of God. He was righteous, like we would read of God as God, righteous God, above reproach, divine standard, high and above, and Jesus Christ himself, the righteous one. Apostle Paul was using this language to say that they were blameless before you and before others. And we were like, for you know that we dealt with you, with each of you, as a father deals with his own children. Now is a father who deals with his own children. He is like a father here. In his love for his children, he will deal with them in a certain way to bring them up in the fear of God and to bring them up to be mighty men and women of God. So he said, this is how we dealt with you. Firstly, and are three things, and I will finish with that. Encouraging you to press on and believing in the Lord. That is how we get along you. Encouraging you. And the word that is used here is just like paracleto, like walking alongside you. That is an encouragement. The encouragement is not from top down. You say, like, I'm just like alongside. Para. So when I was doing chemistry and physics, so I didn't understand like the benzene ring. Like you got like the functional groups when you have any attachment, or whether it's methyl group or whatever. And so if it's just like the one that is at the top is called ortho, from orthodontics, isn't it? And then you have the para alongside, and then you have the meter under there. You see, I didn't understand those things before that. And then when I started to study Greek, and so those became really meaningful to me. So alongside you, close with you. You see, so that your faith doesn't diminish. I use this illustration. One day my son was just running. You see like the divisions. So he was just like trying to do his best. He wanted to get the right one, and he was just struggling. You see, and then I was just like any other father. I was just running alongside him. I nearly broke my leg. You see, I think I fell into really steep. Just like, hey, keep running, keep doing. So that was what Paul was doing. And it's only a father who would do that, because it's very dangerous. I nearly really broke my ankle. just for the sake of my son. And Apostle Paul is saying, for your sake, this is how we deal with you like fathers. We didn't want to have any burden. So who would you want to be your pastor? The one who will lord it over you, or the one who will just really deal with you in this way? Like a mother. When I was teaching grade ones back in 1998, so the little girls, they were calling me sometime, Mom. You see, Mom, you see, they want to say that. I said, oh, it's okay, you can call me Mom too. And some of them are really here. They are mothers of 5 children and 6. When they are meet up with them, so I just grab them like my children. So Apostle Paul is saying, this is how we dealt with each of you. There was no any partiality. We treated you equally, the same thing, the same like our children. No favoritism, huh? Yeah, you are just all precious to me because you are children of God. And now the second thing also, like alongside you, running with you, encouraging you, giving you all the support that you need. Also, we comfort you. You see, with the encouragement, so there is these reactions. With the comfort is speaking tenderly to comfort someone. These are words that bring comfort. These are not flattery. They are words to bring comfort as you journey with the Lord when you face your own trouble. We all have troubles, don't we? A lot of things, a lot of issues we go through. Certainly I've been going through a lot. Comforting. But Apostle Paul said that this is what we were doing. Encouraging and comforting. Speaking words that bring comfort to you. And urging you. Urging. Urging. What a word. Three things a father would do. It's not a recipe how to bring up children. But Apostle Paul is saying, like, this is how a father should be. And this is what we are doing. Urging. Urging, please, please, come to my wedding, come to my wedding. Please come. Oh, I don't have transport. Oh, I send you a car. You say, oh, no, I send you someone to come and bring you. Oh, yeah, maybe I don't have clothes. Oh, I got more. I can give you some. Just, you don't want him, you don't want any excuse. You want them to be there, isn't it? So Apostle Paul urging these people to live lives worthy of God. What an amazing, worthy of God. Do you know what is worthy of God? Worthy of God means you live like someone God really is in his life. When God is in your life, really you will be a blessing to many people. You will point people to God. You will have the patience. You will have the love of God. You will have the endurance. You will have the gentleness. Like Apostle Paul, God was in his life, and now he's urging these people to be like him, because he said, you became imitators of us. Imitators. Imitate us. You see? He urged them to live a life worthy of God, because that is what makes a difference. When we live life that is worthy of God, as those who have been filled with the Holy Spirit, touched by God. That is what he's trying to do, like a father. He doesn't want them to miss out of these things. If that needs encouragement, we encourage you. Need comforting, we comfort you. Even we urge you to live lives that is worthy. Holding lightly to the things of this world. Not involving in disputes and trouble and bad language, bad words, and just for gains, treasures of this world. So he said, like, worthy of God who calls you into his kingdom and his glory. It's God who calls you. And my job is to urge you, to encourage you like a father would to his children, and also to be tender and caring like a mother to his infant babies. What an encouragement. So the Thessalonians, they needed that letter. Because again and again, the church needs to hear the voice of God ringing, telling them, don't give up on these Christian virtues. Faith, love, endurance, perseverance, gentleness, all the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And Apostle Paul here, He laid before us the Magdalene apostles and the true godly ministry. They are the ministry that doesn't load it on people. Even if an apostle has the right to live a life that is dignified, that is of God, and you don't have to be entangled in the things of the world, and yet he said, we were just like really being careful, proving to you that we were not just coming for this gain or purpose. And today, I want to pray that our church will adopt this, another form of Christian ministry, another model of Christian ministry, that Christian people will be willing to serve the Lord, because we are, if you believe in the priesthood of all believers, that is what we are, to serve God with our talents, with our finance, with everything. They don't have to be even in this church, but you need to be engaged in a way or another in the advancements of the kingdom of Jesus Christ, because this kingdom, as Paul says, demands that we are engaged in promoting it. Because Apostle Paul, even when he used the word apostle, what is apostle and apostle? We have people today, let me finish with that. You have people today, they say, I am an apostle. You see, this friend of mine that I met yesterday, we started off an educational center from this crash for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of children from South Sudan, North Sudan. And so they went around looking for Christians who did education, teaching degree, so that they can come and help. They were Christians who were loving and kind, generous. They just poured out money into that. And we were engaged in rallying together and bringing together children. And I was involved in registering all these kids, and I knew all their names, 1 to 3, 3 names, 300 of some of them. And we went on. And so we started to call ourselves apostles. So 13 of us, we call ourselves apostles. So that doesn't mean that we are apostles like Apostle Paul. But apostle here, what Paul was mean, said we were tasked with one task, that to take the gospel into new realm, to another sphere. That the task that they were given. There was no churches in those places, that he went out like a founder. And today, in that sense also, you can be an apostle who go into places where no other one else has ever been. Watch out. God may call you even yourself. When I went to Saudi Arabia, they were asking me a lot of questions. Have you ever been there? Do you know anyone? I said, I don't know anyone. I'm just going like that. And I went, and the Lord God made me. It's a new place. When I share this, how I went to Saudi Arabia, people just marvel and say, why you marvel? It's not me. It's God who sent me. It's not me. I can't do it. They couldn't have given me a visa. They gave me a 12-month visa to Saudi Arabia, to a new place. And so I was sharing at the funeral of one of our ministers, retired minister, Frank Savage, his brother. I was just sharing how I went there. And he looked up, he looked at me and he said, you are an icebreaker. You see, that was what he said to me. And I took that word seriously. Brothers and sisters, this is not my valedictory address, but might be one of few. Let us look out for God to call us into places and to live lightly, not being a burden to anyone, but rather to live for God, who has called us and who tests our hearts and has approved us to be his instruments. This should be for of any Christian in whatever capacity you are. It's not only for the gospel preachers, but it's for anyone filled with the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Just as you know how we were exhorting and encouraging and imploring each one of you as a father would his own children. I want to finish with a quote by a man we know who came into our midst, Andrew Young. He came and he preached to us at the college, and also he went. He took also our camp, isn't it? Our church camp. Yeah, that was a long time ago. So he said this. He said, to make the gospel without cost to its hearers ought to be the aim of every Christian institution. A highly regarded Christian pastor. He was invited by our whole church, the PCV, in her wing at the theological college, preparing pastors for ministry. And so he preached this sermon, and I talked to him. Actually, he quoted me. He said, to make the gospel without cost to its hearers ought to be the aim of every Christian institution, church, and individual today. Sadly, all too often, it becomes a means of gaining wealth. Let us pray.